How many of you know it's absolutely necessary that the church have order? And order begins where? At home. Because whatever's happening at home, that's all you can bring to church. That's all this local congregation get to work with, whatever you leave, that you leave home with. Hallelujah. But everything must come under God's original, say original, intent. Now, your life might not have started based on God's original intent. So let's not condemn ourselves because we're not all the way there yet. But let's learn what we need to do so we can get there. Amen? Because you're going to have to go back and fix some stuff. You're just going to have to go back and fix some stuff. Because some of us weren't raised in the household where we had two parents that loved the Lord. And some of us had two parents that loved the Lord and they still didn't get along. So you didn't get the proper image of what family should look like. And just because everybody went to church doesn't mean you had the proper image. Now, that's a good start. But if that's all you saw, you still didn't get the correct image of what family should look like. Because we renamed a lot of stuff. Remember that? And as long as you keep renaming stuff, then you don't ever know what the real looks like. Like potato chips. You know, we get so used to eating it out of the bag. If you ever eat a real potato chip cooked in a pot, the bag is over. Now, we settle for the bag. Why? Because it's convenient. Because not many of us today want to peel the white potato, slice it, and then cook it. But I grew up on homemade potato chips. And there is a vast difference. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's right. It's a vast difference. No chemicals, none but salt. That's it. And the taste is so real. But we settle. Why? Convenience. But we rename it. It's really not potato chips. It should be called just chip. Because you don't taste no potato. You don't taste no potato. You should taste a potato. In a potato chip. Don't you think you ought to taste some potato? When last time you taste potato in a potato chip? Okay, something not right about that, okay? Because this flavor should shine through. And since you're not eating potatoes, you should just say, I'm getting a chip. So you see how that can work. But order is so crucial to God that this morning, I'm going to share with you some things that the Lord shared with me. And I know some things you may have heard before, but get a new look. Say, look at your neighbor. Say, get a new look. All right, go back to Genesis chapter 2. I apologize. Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at verse 15. Hallelujah. When you have it, say, I have it. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden. Now, which man is this he's talking about? He's talking about the male man now. He took the man and put him in the garden. The male man. Because he's already a spirit, so God put him in the garden. But God gave him something to do. He told him to do what? To dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the male man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. All right. So there is no female on the scene at this time, right? Mrs. Adam is not present. And she's not even in the mind of Mr. Adam. She's only in the mind of God Almighty. Now hold up. So what we're seeing is God's original order. Who came first? The male man. Now you can't erase that, walk over it, eliminate it. God made the male man first. There is a reason. We're talking about God's original order. You say, well, ain't the woman equal with the man? Keep living. We're going to keep talking. This is why so many unhappy females in our land today. They're out of order. Because they're trying to compete with the man, the male man. And you're going to lose. Women, you're going to lose. You may not like what I said, but you will lose. Because there shouldn't be no competition. You should know where you belong, like he should know where he belongs. So at this point, there is no female. We are looking at God's original order right here. God created the male man first. So God is dealing with the male man all by himself first. Say order. So God's dealing with the male man first. He says, Adam, I need you to be a certain way. So God begins to develop the male man first. Men, you need to hear this. God develops you first. Now you can choose to be last, because a lot of men are slugs. They take too long to grow up. Not because they're not capable, but because they're just selfish. And they take forever to walk into the plan of God. As though God made them so much different from the woman that they don't have to do everything the woman does. So they don't pray as much as the wife does. They don't study as much as their wife does. No wonder she thinks she's the spiritual authority. Because you don't bring enough to the table to change the schematics of things. And God told Adam, I'm dealing with you first before there ever showed up a woman. And then God gives Adam, Mr. Adam, I'm going to call him Mr. and Mrs. Adam. God gave Mr. Adam specific instructions for him. Say, God gave them to Adam. He gave them to Mr. Adam. He didn't give them to Mrs. Adam. He gave this set of instructions to the male man only. Ooh. What are those instructions? Mr. Adam, I need you to keep the garden and I need you to dress it. What does this mean in relations to Adam? Mr. Adam, I need you to cultivate and protect this garden. Oh. So Adam was supposed to give the garden its purpose. God created it, made it for him. But Adam was supposed to give it its purpose. He was supposed to tell the garden how it was going to be used. This is going to be very important. Because how he relates to the garden is how he's going to relate to the female. God is training him through specific instructions. Adam was supposed to give the garden its purpose. Now, the word cultivate has got many, many definitions. But it simply means to prepare for use, to develop a culture. Oh, when I saw that, I said, oh, this is when culture begins. Adam was supposed to bring a culture to the garden. What does culture mean? It means there are customs of a particular nation of people. Adam was supposed to set in place how all mankind was going to act. He was going to begin the culture of all mankind. Oh, no wonder the devil hated him. Now look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. See, let's relate that to how God has already set this man aside to cultivate, to bring a whole culture. See, that whole culture means I'm going to bring out of you whatever's in you, and that's going to be the customs of the whole nation. Because Adam is the catalyst for all mankind. 1 Peter 2 and 9 and verse 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Oh, we see that again, nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So he's saying, even as Adam was to set the culture, he was set aside a peculiar nation. We got called the same thing. You are a peculiar nation, and the culture of God is supposed to be in your house. So when people walk in your house, they see the customs, the achievements. All the characteristics of God should be in your home. Jesus. They should walk in your house and sense the difference. Glory to God. They shouldn't have to figure out if you saved or not saved. All right. Are you still learning? Going back to Genesis chapter 2. And let's look at verse 17. Now, God is still talking to the man only, the woman not there. He's still talking to the male man. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What is being said here? God saying that if you eat of the forbidden tree, Mr. Adam, that in dying you shall die. What does that mean? He says, you're going to die, but not the way you think you're going to die. Because what he did not realize is that he was not going to cease to exist, but he would lose the consciousness of God, the breath of life. See, only God can breathe life. You have to be God conscious to have the God life in you. And he said, Adam, when you disobey, you're going to lose my consciousness. You're going to lose my mind. Ooh. And we've been commanded to have the mind of Christ. It's a divine connector. He says, when man, the spirit man, is not connected to the breath of God, from God's perspective, you are dead. So having a flesh body walking around with no God awareness, you are dead. You're a dead man walking. Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that that man should be alone or all one. I will make him an help meet for who? Oh, no, for God. He didn't say for him, for God. I'm going to make somebody for Mr. Adam. Ooh, Jesus. Okay. We see that the male man was functional and had God's awareness. Mr. Adam had proved that, right? He was one with God and had purpose. God had plans for this male man to be something great. Say something great. Men, God has called you to greatness. And some of you may never discover it because of who you married. It's not good to be married without God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 19. We're going to keep pulling this out. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Mr. Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Mr. Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Mr. Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. Now, people have twisted that and said Adam was looking for a mate amongst Adam. Do you think God is dumb? They were never compatible. So why would God condemn in the Old Testament you sleeping with Adams if Adam was searching for one amongst? See, you don't think right. I've heard this scripture so messed up. Adam was not searching amongst the animals for a mate because he didn't have a mate on his mind. Men is always working better when you don't concentrate on what you think you're looking at, you know. Think on God. Now, Adam was designed to rule over the entire earth. Mr. Adam had given dominion. See, we just read it. God gave him dominion. If you read Genesis 1:26, it confirms that God gave Adam dominion over the earth, over everything, everything that creeps. Crawl, fly, swim, walk, whatever. Adam had dominion over it, right? So he was designed to rule over the entire earth. Now, Adam was given this authority to act just like God in the earth. He was supposed to take his authority and be God in the earth. Big God, little God. Because, see, Adam's assignment. Ooh, I had notes everywhere. Let me see if I can find what I. You know how when God started talking, and anybody that ministered the word, you better have a notebook somewhere close by because he might say something anytime. All right. So, see, here's the order thing. Adam was under God's authority. Who was the Mrs. Adam under? She was under Mr. Adam because God said he made her for him. Woo, women, y'all to shout and be happy. You said, but don't I live? We talking about spiritual now. We getting to do physical things now. There is complete order. Just like there's order in the spirit, there's order in the natural realm. Oh, hallelujah. It's going to set some free. It's going to make some angry. And some might want to be mad with God. But you just got to go ahead and bite the bullet and live on. Because it's going to turn your life around if you receive it. So the vision of how they were supposed to live was in Adam, not in Mrs. Adam. Because the authority was given to Mr. Adam. And it says, let them have dominion. She didn't have any dominion without Mr. Adam. Oh, Jesus. And she came, see, because God went inside of him and took her, made a part of him and made her, took a part of him and made her for him, which means she had to stay attached. Because that's where her life source was. See, Adam was to look unto God for his source, and the woman was supposed to look unto the man like God for her source. Because she came out of him. And God gave Adam the woman to keep and to protect. He was supposed to be like God unto her. And most women don't know what it's like to live with a man that treats you like God. And since you don't know it, you can't correct me on this. Because you ain't never experienced it. So take your mouth off this word. I've experienced living with a man that know how to treat you like God. You've never had it, you don't know. It's a whole different world. And people might think you're a slave, but it's a whole different world. Can't you think for yourself? Yeah, I thought for myself. But why did I have to get up and worry about stuff when I got my husband that I'm looking at? Ooh, Jesus. See, the order was set in the man. It wasn't set in the woman. And this man's word was just as eternal as God's word. We proved that with all the animals. He named every animal, and they still named the giraffe. Nobody tried to change the giraffe name. Nobody tried to change the giraffe gender. It's only when you get to the humans that we get stupid. His word is as strong today as it was when he first spoke it. Whatever order Adam set initially, this order was set in place forever. That was his assignment. So we see this in his name and all the animals. When Adam named the animals, he set in order not only a name, but he set their characteristics and their behavior. That's how powerful his word was and still is. Because he gave them their purpose when he named them. Oh, God. This is the original intent of the male man, to exercise authority in the earth. And God says, okay, now it's not good for you to be all one, because you need somebody to help fulfill this vision in order to reproduce after your own kind. You need the female. Look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Mr. Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the male man made he a woman and brought her unto the who? He gave her to the who? Gave her to the who? The male man. He didn't give him back to himself. God brought her to the man. Male man, this your assignment. Cultivate and develop her. Because if you don't, oh, Jesus. Woo. So God brings the woman to the man so Adam can have, first of all, spiritual intercourse. Because she must be developing her soul. Sometimes we push in that button to have babies, but you've never had spiritual intercourse with your wife. She still don't know who you are. That's because you don't know who you are yet. You can't teach somebody something you ain't never been. So we see that Adam have already said, okay, I'm going to be unto her who God says I'm supposed to be unto her. See, that's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. That was a commandment. Adam was supposed to impart unto her what God gave him as a vision for the household. Women, I don't care how many hours a day you pray. I don't care how many Bibles you read. The vision never comes through you. When you learn that, your life will be a whole lot easier. A lot of men die early because their wives are out of order. And a lot of sickness and disease be in their body. It's enough to just to be attacked as a man. Because the devil's always after the male man. And nothing like being in a house with a woman that don't know when to shut up. Because she thinks she know it all. Ooh. Now look at verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of God's bones. Oh, this is bone of my bones. Oh, and flesh of my flesh. That means she came out of him. Oh, she shall be called capital woman. Now he has given her her designator. He's given her purpose because he named her woman. He named her man with a womb. That denoted purpose. Because a woman with no womb can't reproduce. He says, now look, watch it. Because she was taken out of man. That's why she's man's responsibility. Fathers, if you don't raise your daughters to understand manhood, to understand how to operate with a male, because you must be the visionary in the house. And if your daughter don't learn it at home, she's not going to be ready to be a helper. She must visibly see it and hear it. And she's going to get all her cues by how you treat your wife. Your sons are learning right now. You think because they 1 year old, they don't understand. Yes, they do. They got a memory bank. They're like a living computer. And they'll begin to respond the older they get. And you don't understand their moves and their, but see, they learn that behavior from you. And you dismissed it. And you never changed it. So everybody gets older. Woo, Jesus. And it says, for therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his who? That means he's going to pursue her. And they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So the male man was to look to God because man came out of God. And the woman was to look unto the male man because she came out of him. So the male man was to be unto the woman just like God. But something happened that changed everything. See, they're the enemy. And not enough families understand you got an enemy. That's not only after the male man, but it's after the next generation. And we don't guard our children enough for me. You don't guard your children well. Got quiet, whatever. I hit that button, dinner. If your child know more about Papa, whatever that stuff is on TV, you know what I'm talking about. They can quote all of that stuff, and they don't know nothing about the Bible. If they can quote something, why you can't teach them the word? Teach them a Bible verse. They're never too young. I went to Instagram. There's a baby just turning one and quoting Psalms 23. Can't you hardly sit up that good? But she quoted Psalms 23. Most grown people can't quote it. Do you know what that did? That took time. That means those parents, from the time she came out, they were sharing the word with that baby. Because that didn't happen overnight. How many of y'all know that? That's a consistent diet of what develops what you see on Instagram. You can't make a baby do that on Instagram, not that age. Because, you know, they'll cry at the time you want them to smile. You be trying to take pictures and they going like, I don't want to take no picture today. So you can't force that. That means over time, somebody trained that baby in Psalms 23. I don't even want to go down that lane because I'd be there all day. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Turn over to verse 1. Are you still learning? Hallelujah. Now, we know this account. That no good serpent. That's my rendition. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. That means he was crafty. And he was walking upright. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now Adam have trained her. But he told him that you can't touch it. That ain't what God said. He said, don't eat of it. So you see how Adam put his own rendition in there. Said doors. So when you don't teach your wife the truth and you put your little religion in there, doors. Because God didn't say you can't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. Adam told a woman, don't touch it. Because God never said, don't touch it. And he might have said that so she wouldn't go nowhere near it. But you see, that didn't stop it, right? Because there was a door open. The devil had the ability. Once he found out what was wrong in her belief, he could work on it and show her a side that she had never seen before. Go down to verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. How did she get that vision? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband. Wait a minute. I thought Adam was in authority. Is now she providing the daily spiritual bread for the house? The table had flipped. She's feeding Adam. He's not feeding her. She's feeding Adam. Woo, Jesus. She's feeding Adam because Adam got lazy on the job. He's so busy looking at her that he done lay down what his authority. He knew she was wrong. Watch this. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she gave it also to him. Here, take this. This is good for you. And he ate it. After knowing the penalty. Because the instruction was given to him. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves. And you know, and then the Lord called them in the garden. He goes in, and they say, the Lord said, how you know you were naked? And all that stuff. And then the woman goes into childbearing. He said, you're going to suffer in childbearing. He said, but also through your childbearing, there's going to become a deliverer that will deliver you from your sins. Okay. Look at verse 17. And unto Mr. Adam, he said, because thou what? Hearken unto what? The voice of thy wife. You let her become the spiritual authority in the house. And you listen to her instead of what I told you. She can't be the spiritual authority in the house. Not when you say you say. Now, if you ain't saved, fess up. But if you say you saved, she can't be the spiritual authority. I told you the rules changed in marriage. You need to learn the rules before you decide to get married. And then decide if you really want to be married. Because they do change. Listen. He said, because you listen to the voice of your wife, there's a greater penalty coming on you. Because you committed high treason. You formed a coup against the government in direct rebellion. He said, so he said, now you got to work in a manner you've never had to work. And the ground not gonna be all that easy for you to work with. Where the ground would have yielded its fruit unto you, now you got to make it produce. Oh man. You're going to have to toil a little bit, Adam, because you did this. Let me get down to my notes. You see, as long as Adam didn't eat, if Mr. Adam had never eaten, they would have never died. Because she was made for him. She was under his authority. Say under. Which means he was responsible for how she turned out. Mr. Adam could have, should have, corrected his wife at home. Apostle Paul talks about that. The women, you read over in the New Testament, and you know they were having all this chaos in the church, the women uproaring, and Apostle Paul telling the men, teach your wife at home. Get her straightened out at home. Because she's in rebellion the way she's doing it. She's bringing you before the public and making you look weak. Asking questions that you should be able to answer at home. Do you see what I'm talking about? These women were asking questions in a public venue that should have been answered by her husband at home. And Apostle Paul said, that's not the church job to answer all your wife's questions. I thought you was a man of God. Don't you have authority in your house? You mean you can't answer none of your wife's Bible questions? You ain't got no authority. I know y'all don't like that, but it's real. She should be able to turn to her husband, who represents God, and get an answer. Not that you got to know everything in the Bible, but you should be able to say, you know what, baby, I'm going to go pray about it. She don't have no spiritual trust in you. And just because you go to a J-O-B and bring home the money, doesn't create trust. When she's empty spiritually, because you ain't put nothing over there. Thistles and thorns and weeds are growing in her because you never done nothing with that piece of land. You busy keeping a job, making money, and she crying out for the pastor of her house. Teach me, train me. See, I didn't have that deficit. My husband would sit down and we would talk for hours about the word. And we would go to church and he'd come back on, we'd be sitting after we eat dinner. He said, baby, he said, is anything you ain't understand today? He said, let me help you. And I said, well, you know, I did have a question about such and such. if he didn't know, he said, let's get in the Word. Let's search it out. He said, we're going to keep listening. We go back. And at that time, all they had was cassettes. We didn't have a lot of money, but we were buying cassettes because we were hungry to know the truth. And I wasn't resisting his leading. And we could talk for hours. People say, how you be around your husband all day? Because we were communicating. It wasn't just sex. We were spiritually connected. He imparted in me the counsel of God that he got from God himself. I didn't learn a lot of stuff I know today sitting under somebody else. Let me help you, men. This was taught to me at home. And if there's anything my husband didn't understand, he went to his pastor and got answers. Mm. Woo, Jesus. See, this would have never happened if Adam had corrected his wife at home. But when you don't correct your wives and you know they are wrong, some of you know your wives are out of order, but you're scared of them. But you've opened the door to rebellion. Because what the devil did in conversating with Eve, he had to plant, well, she wasn't called Eve at that time. He had to plant the seed of rebellion in Mrs. Adam in order to overthrow the man. Now, you know, rebellion. So what the serpent did, let me read my notes. The serpent used conversation as a means to sow rebellion. It always starts with words. Faith comes by hearing. Rebellion comes by talking. Watch this. The more Mrs. Adam talked to the serpent, the more skilled or proficient she became in rebellion. Because every time she met with the serpent and talked, he was sowing into her rebellion. And she would become skilled at it. Now she's going back home and said, lapping her eyes at Adam. You know how y'all lap those eyes. You know what I'm talking about. Plucking her lips and everything else. Boy, you ain't doing what I need you to do. She had to bring the man down. She had to demote the man to overthrow him. And he had to accept it. Don't let sex rule you. She might be good, but don't you be dumb. Because it'll be your downfall. Apostle Paul talks about that over in the book of Corinthians, chapter 7. He says, you got to pay attention to her. He said, but it's better that you don't have all this issue. Live like me. But see, the problem is most men, before they don't get developed before they get married. This is why we have a lot of issues in marriage. Because most people don't get married already developed, knowing who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. So rebellion has a momentum to it. It does not stop in one thing. See, because the devil was not after them just eating the fruit. He was after the seed of authority. He needed to have authority in the earth. And only a man can give him that. Why? Because the earth now has been turned over to man. Oh, Jesus. So he's after the seat of authority. And in that authority in the home. So what is rebellion? Oh, we're going to finish good time today. Y'all going to get this lesson today. What is rebellion? It's the open resistance against the orders or commands of an established authority. It is an action or process of resisting authority. Watch this. Now, this is a dangerous one. It is an open, organized, and armed resistance to one's government. She's blatant now with her rebellion, as though God can't see her. But God waiting to see what Mr. Adam gonna do. I can imagine God saying, man, what you gonna do with that woman? She over there acting like a jerk. And you ain't saying nothing. And you're scared of her. I didn't give her to you to let her grow wild. You're supposed to shape and mold her for ministry. Not let her stay the way you got her. I can remember that I told y'all my story, and I ain't ashamed. That first year, I cried so much. And my husband, I didn't care what he said, how he said, I cried. Because I wasn't used to a man leading. And coming up under authority hurt. And I didn't know how wild I had grown up. Because father never assumed his role as father. So I didn't have a clear picture of what a man was supposed to do. I had my own image. Women, you got to be careful that you don't maintain the image you think the man ought to be. Because you'll destroy your marriage. And that first year, my husband had his work cut out. That's all I can say. Thank God. He had his work, because I didn't know. And if I didn't know, and he realized I didn't know. Wasn't because I was unwilling, I just didn't know. He said, girl, he said, you cry when you're happy, you cry when you're sad, you cry when you're angry with me. I don't know the difference anymore. Tell me which one is going on. But he had to train me. And that couldn't be done in church. That is a home job. And a lot of men bring their wives to church because they want the church to fix them. And we can't. That's your job. And if you don't fix her, she'll never be fixed for you. Oh, she be right for somebody else, but she won't be right for you. The pastor where she go can get more out of her than you. That's been the biggest complaint for a lot of men. Everything the pastor says, she'll do, but if I ask her to do one thing, she don't do nothing. That's your fault. I ain't sat under no pastor that got more out of me than my husband. Because I was yielded to Dr. Dale Davis. See, so we see that the vision has now been flipped, and Adam let the woman begin to see for the household, and we got a lot of problems as a result of that. And so she see the tree as being something for food, something to eat. See, that's spiritual food. So now she's giving the spiritual bread in the house. And not the husband. So Mrs. Adam has now usurped authority over Mr. Adam. When she thinks that she has a vision for the household and not him. See, even in pastoring, women have to be careful. Because when God calls the man, he calls his wife if he has a wife. Which means it's still order. I didn't have a vision for this church long range. Dr. Davis did. I'm thankful that he put it in writing. You better hear me. And I never challenged that side of him. I didn't need to be that. If I never got up here, I was all right. But he told me, he says, God called you to do the word, and you need to do it. So he forced me, kind of like what you had to do. And I said, not in a bad way. He created the laws of prosperity. When we were in the Holiday Inn Hotel over there off the Northampton Boulevard, was the first time I ever spoke in front of the congregation doing the laws of prosperity. And I was shaking like a leaf the whole time, holding on to the podium. And he says, you got to do this because you can't be ruled by fear. I can't allow you to be fearful. This was a home job. He said, I can't allow you to be fearful. And he didn't. And from there, and he said, and I told him, I says, I'm a country bumpkin. I don't say words the way you say them. He said, you're not supposed to. Just say what God put in your heart. He said, if you miss something, if you say something wrong, he said, we'll fix it at home. And I'll straighten it out with the people. Ah, Jesus. That's how you work in ministry. Well, no battle. It was never no battle between him and I when it came to this office. Never, 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 never. I didn't want it. It was never a battle. I received it because it was God's will. And I worked with him. So rebellion always has to get you to see authority incorrectly. Because it's always after your authority. Now, Mr. Adam is trying to keep, quote, unquote, peace in the house. Men, are you paying attention? Good. When anything goes against the will of God for the household, you better put your authority on it. And you better do it quick. Be like Bonnie on Andy Griffith. Nip it in the bud. Before it blossom into full-blown rebellion. Nip it in the bud. Do it quickly and sharply. Sometimes you can't be nice. You got to cut it. Because the skin, it will heal over. Because she ain't going to leave you. She will heal. Especially when she understands that you did it for her good. However, Mr. Adam gave way to his wife's emotions and did not enforce what God had said. Men, you got to be careful when them women start crying. Because that's the power that God put in the woman. It's called influence and persuasion. Now, she can influence you in the good, and she'll influence you in the bad. Depending on how you feel that day. You may not say, I don't feel like hearing that woman crying today. Just go ahead and do what you want to do. Leave me alone. You just gave her your authority. You need to say, look, babe, we'll talk about this later. I'm too tired to hear what you got to say. Give me time to rest. And then we'll discuss it. Because if not, you will make a wrong decision when you're tired. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 22:15 that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. When the woman acting like a child, you got to treat her like a child. It said the rod of correction, that you may not be able to beat her with a rod, but you sure can correct her with your words. And if you don't correct her, it won't go far from you. It's going to be in your house. Because she's going to be thinking she right as long as you don't say she wrong. That's that silent talk that women have on the inside. You know, we have a lot of discussions on the inside. And you men don't have no idea what we're saying. Because we are incubators. It says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Oh, that ought to help some of your parents. Now, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. Come and look at your neighbor and say, the Bible is right. Don't get offended because your boo is acting up. Take the rod and give him some wisdom. The Bible says some wisdom not coming unless there's correction along with it. You can't be this modern day parent and feel like spanking is past, it's old timey. You better beat that little joker because he's getting ready to bring you to shame. Now, you don't have to regard this. You think this Pastor Diana being old-fashioned. But if the Bible, if you can't take out the Bible, what you want to take out the Bible, and then write your own narrative. And when that child out there acting like, that child out there falling out, having fits, all over because you won't tell me you can't buy no chips or cookies. Ooh, Jesus. Sometimes the mommy and me want to come out. And I can't do it because that's your child. If I beat it, they're going to obey me. But they still won't obey you. And that's worse. That's why I leave stuff alone. Because that's worse. I'm talking to some of y'all in this room. You better get a handle on this stuff. You too passive. And you create rebellion. You don't deal with rebellion talking. You got to beat it out. Now the Bible right. Now if Adam had carried her into the little private quarters and said, look, girl, why are you acting like a jerk? You know you ain't supposed to be doing that. We'd have never had all the issues we got today. But since he didn't do that and he let her grow wild, he paid the cost for it. Mm. Women, when you choose to influence your husband against his better judgment, this is manipulation. That is sin. That is no longer persuasion and influence. That's manipulation. If your husband says to you, baby, it's not time, let's just wait on that, and you keep trying to influence him, that's manipulation. Now you without excuse. Mm-hmm. You need to give him time to think. Pray on it. You have taken a power given to you by God to aid the man and turn it over to the control of his enemy, the devil. Oops. Same way he used Mrs. Adam, he'll use you. Because he's after the mailman. That's the seat of authority. Mm. Many times I've seen where women don't care what financial hardship they have to endure as long as she gets what she wants. Put the man under stress to buy something they can't afford. You don't even need. And then it start breaking down on you. And you can't keep it up because you're not supposed to have it. Woo. So we see that Mr. Adam failed to use his authority at home and correct his wife. Now, since he didn't correct her at home, her rebellion becomes public. Because it's not going to happen. Because after a while, it's just going to be, see, one time just between you and her in the bedroom. And, you know, she might stay kind of quiet. But after a while, it's going to be very, very obvious who's controlling the house. Because the spirit of rebellion moves where it's taking over the authority. And it makes the man look like he's a chump. Mm. Her rebellion becomes public. Her open armed resistance to his authority. Ooh, all because Mr. Adam, in his attempt to get along with her, created a false peace. Men, it is a false peace when you are afraid to tell your wife the truth. Trying to live in this false peace has a high cost that is attached to it. It will cost you the plan of God for you and your family. You'll walk right outside of the will of God, never experience it because you won't correct your wife at home. It's not my job to correct your wife. It's not my job to correct. You got to do this at home. It's not my job. Now, I can help in any way I can, but I can't correct what you broke. You got to fix it. That's in your authority. Women, you got to be willing to be fixed. If you're a godly woman, say you really love the Lord, you want your house right. Don't resist the man. If he going to make mistakes, of course he will. It's still not your job to tell him how many mistakes he'd have made. You shouldn't be keeping account. You're supposed to be walking in forgiveness, right? I remember when you did such and such, and you paid all that money, but as soon as I asked you to do something for me, we ain't got no money. You unforgiving creature. See, you got to fix that. And it can be fixed? Absolutely. That means you got to, now, where are you going to get your instruction from, men? You got to go back to God. Because ain't no cell group. Ain't no men's fellowship. Ain't no ship can fix your house if you're unwilling to do what it takes to fix it. You want somebody to do that external fixing. No, this is an internal job. You got to go home and fix it. Amen. Did you learn anything this morning?